What's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets presented by So Rare right here live on our FTN Network YouTube page, also here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. Hopefully everybody having a great Friday morning. A lot to get to here on this show. We're going to hit up all of the sports, only a couple games on the ice in the NHL, but I do have a couple picks and some props for you. We're going to do that. Hockey, Mr. Kwan, we have hopefully some winners here for you as we head into the weekend. We're also going to take a look at the second version of my NFL mock draft. I'm not going to lie to you guys. It's tough. Like, there are so many different ways to go. I did the mock 1.1 and I just 1.0 and I kind of kept it no trades, and this version, no trades either. Maybe version 3, I'll get nuts and do some trades, and I'll talk about, you know, in the final block, we'll go over it and I'll talk about my reasoning behind some of the picks and where some of these quarterbacks and wide receivers and running backs, even tight ends. I got a couple tight ends in the first round as well, where they're going to go and potential teams that could trade up. It is tough. It's fun. It's supposed to be an exercise by all means. I'm not an expert here when it comes to mock drafts. Just have some fun with it. Ratcliffe's got his on our website, ftnfantasy.com, and you can go and check that out, see where mine's different from his. And so we actually have a couple similarities. We do have some quarterbacks in different spots and some wide receivers in different spots, but we do have a running back going to a certain team that I don't really have a history of taking running backs or skilled players really in the first round. So we'll dive into that in a little bit. But like I said, it is tough. I'm scratching guys out. No, I want them here. I want them there. I think that they'll go there. So we'll see what you guys think of the mock. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts too. I'd love to hear, really, diehard MMA podcast in the house. What's going on? Mock draft, let's go. What does Carolina do with the first pick? I think we know that they are taking a quarterback, but who? Who is that quarterback? I think it's CJ Stroud. I've been saying CJ Stroud for a while now, ever since the combine. I've really felt like he is the best quarterback with the highest ceiling. And now I think Bryce Young is right there as well, but we'll get into all that stuff in a little bit. Kyle Murray's in the house. We're going to, I'm going to recap last night's action in opening day baseball. And Kyle and I are going to go over tonight's slate. There's only a handful of games, right? Yesterday we had 15 games around the diamond, a bunch of afternoon action today. No afternoon action and a handful of games this evening that we'll get after here on Mean Streets and get a couple of his predictions as well. It's not too late for predictions. Of course, you can still bet on things like Cy Young winners, MVP winners, World Series winners. So we'll get some thoughts from Kyle Murray in just a little bit. And then I'm going to hit the waiver wire for fantasy baseball. As we talked about yesterday on this show, just some people were asking about strategy and they said they had a couple, you know, available spots in their fantasy baseball squad. So we'll go over some strategies pieces. And I got a list of, I think, 10 players and 10 pitchers who are owned in fewer than 60% of Yahoo ESPN leagues. Now I know, like, high stakes leagues, people are playing really competitive leagues. These players they're likely not available, but not everybody plays high stakes leagues, right? I think more people play, you know, just some casual fantasy baseball with their buddies in a, you know, a 10 or a 12 team setting, whether it's a points league or a head to head format in Yahoo, ESPN or Fantrax. So I was scanning the waiver wire on those websites and trying to find some guys that are owned in fewer than 60% of leagues. Marcus Stroman, one of those guys I didn't include, but I have him here off the top. So wanted to go over last night's action in Major League Baseball, 3 stars on the mound and hitting stars. So Kwan, surprise me. What do you got? What are you going with here first? We're going to highlight some of the best players from yesterday. So here it is, the hitters. A lot of history made yesterday on opening day. Adley Rutschman, I tweeted this out yesterday, and it wasn't just a hot take just because he had a great day. He is my number one fantasy catcher, and there's nothing against JT Realmuto. I have Realmuto at 2. I have Varsho at 3. I have Salvador Perez in there as well, and Will Smith. Yeah, just outside would be Contreras of the Cardinals, and I think he's great as well. I think he's outside my top 5 because I don't believe he's going to have a good average. Adley Rutschman is a star. He's a star in the making. He was super impressive last year as well, behind the plate, good average. He's got some pop, clearly. First player to go 5 for 5 or better with at least 4 RBI, 6 plate appearances. This is just opening day stuff. 6 plate appearances, reached base 6 times, first catcher with 5 hits on opening day since 1990. Just the 3rd player ever to go 5 for 5 and get multiple RBI on opening day, joining Hall of Famers Bill Hermann and Babe Ruth. That's right. Adley Rutschman is here. Get ready. and buckle up because the O's are here as well. And talking to my guy George at the top of the show, you know, he's a little bit bummed about the Red Sox. They give up a ton of runs to the Orioles. But something we talked about on this show, Baltimore is sneaky good. They have some kids, too, that we're going to see in the lineup this season on both sides, on the hill and in the batter's box. They're on the rise. They were one of the better teams in the second half of baseball last season. When Dream came on the show, he didn't want to say it. You know, maybe he was a little pessimistic about his O's. But I was telling him that Baltimore should have had a higher win total than the Boston Red Sox. I think that they're going to hang around all season and they're going to battle for a wild card spot. It's not your Baltimore O's of the past, you know, few years. I think that they're on the rise. How about George Springer yesterday? Here's another record. First player in AL history to have 5 hits and 4 runs on opening day. First MLB player since, again, Billy Hermann. 2 Billy Hermann shoutouts. He did it in 1936. So we got Adley making opening day history and some catcher history stuff there. We have George Springer making opening day history in the American League with 5 hits and 4 runs. First player since Billy Hermann in 1936. Didn't think you guys would hear Billy Hermann twice on the show, did you? And then CJ Krohn, who's just sneaky good. He's got a lot of power. You know, people just like, you know, I'll draft him late because he plays half of his games at Coors. Well, he had 2 home runs yesterday and the game wasn't at Colorado. 5 RBI, 4 for 5. Let's switch over to the stars on the mound yesterday. Gerrit Cole, a shout out to Webb as well. And the Gove coming on here and saying that Logan Webb would have maybe a higher strikeout rate this season. He certainly did with 12 punchouts. But Gerrit Cole stole the show with 6 innings, 3 hits, no runs, picked up the W in 11K. You know, you wish you could say the same thing for Shohei Ohtani picking up the W. He was fantastic yesterday as well. We had the over on this show, 6.5 strikeouts at plus 120 DraftKings, and he did that pretty easily. 6 innings, 2 hits, 10 punchouts. But get this, Shohei Ohtani's outing, the 26th since at least 1901 with 10-plus strikeouts and no runs allowed on opening day. It's the first time that pitcher's team lost the game, It's just classic Angels, right? Free Ohtani, don't worry, he'll be gone. This is the reason he'll be gone, because he has amazing performances and his team can't find a way to get a W. I want to reference who gave that tweet out. It was Sarah Langs that I saw tweet that out. She is working for MLB previously of ESPN. So I just thought that was a fantastic statistic, but also not surprised, because this is what I've seen for the Halos for years now. They have decent performances. They blow it in the late innings. Ohtani came out. Haggerty came in, had a nice outing, and then Loop served it up, and the Halos lose to the Oakland Athletics. Cool. Marcus Stroman. Great outing for Stroman. I think he's an underrated pitcher. As I mentioned, his ownership is hanging around 60%. He's been a great ground ball pitcher for years. The ratios are fine. He just doesn't have a super high strikeout upside, but don't tell him that, because he had 6 innings yesterday, 3 hits, no runs, and 8 strikeouts, and picked up the W. He outdueled Corbin Burns, who I do believe is going to be a top pitcher in fantasy baseball this season, but he didn't have a great opening day outing against the Cubbies yesterday, and Marcus Stroman did. A couple shout outs to they got Pablo Lopez, right? Pablo Lopez had a really nice outing as well. I do believe it was Lopez. We will talk about a few other dudes on this show in just a little bit. We're going to bring in Kyle Murray after this break. We are going to get some thoughts on him. Yes, it was Pablo Lopez. He had 8 punchouts and 5 1/3 innings, only allowed 2 hits. I wanted to have him on as well, but you can only pick 3 guys, right? And, you know, we had to give some love to those 3 guys. But more fantasy baseball talk in just a little bit towards the end of the show. Going to scan the waiver wire for you guys. What do we got here in the house? JP in the house. Oh, baby, love it. XL_ENT with some fire. Will Levis found some really good vitamins. Good morning, Daily Handle in here. And yeah, we are freeing Shohei Ohtani. My goodness, it's just another day. Man, why do I like the Halos? Why do I like the Halos? Bring back the Expos. We're going to bring in Kyle Murray here next. Keep her locked. Mean Streets continues on Game Plus Network. K-Murr DFS, Kyle Murray in the house. Not Kyle Muller of the Oakland Athletics. Who's the guy that plays quarterback for Arizona again? Who's that guy that nobody seems to like?
He's a forgotten name these days. I think Kyler or something. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, is it KM? KM is Kyler. Man, everyone's so hard on Kyler these days. But it's going to be a long year for Kyler and for Arizona Cardinals fans. Welcome in, dude. How are you? How'd opening day go for you yesterday?
Yeah, I'm doing good. It's MLB season, so I'm not getting tweets from people who are trying to tweet at Kyler Murray, and they end up tweeting me. It's only happened like once or twice, but one guy was pretty upset, and he tweeted at me. So don't have to worry about that during MLB season. Yesterday was a good one. Had a nice little day over there, FTN Daily, for the MLB stuff, so that was good. Your Halos, not so much. My Tigers,
what the hell?
Definitely not. So,
and it's just like, just it's classic. Classic. And I'm the sucker because I know better. I should know better. I don't know how many times I jumped in the FTN betting Discord channel last year when they were up by a run or two runs and like, guys, you know, the opposing team is plus 350, but we were all on the Halos together as a group. Yeah. So, you know, I couldn't really do it. We all needed, like, I needed them on a 4.5 runs. And I know Dream needed them for like a parlay, even though Dream was the only loss he got. He was 4-5 or 4-1, I do believe. But anyways, not here to, I don't think we're going to talk too much about Otani and the Angels and company, but great day for you yesterday. And you're all over the FTN Daily package. And as we said yesterday, you know, some early bird stuff, I suppose it's not really technically early bird, but you can use promo code opening day, save yourself a little bit of cash. And we're going to be with you, as we mentioned yesterday on the show. Actually, I do believe it was Wednesday on the show with Alex Blickle. We talked about like all the tools, right? The strikeout model, home run model. You got the optimizer, ownership and projections. You're all over that stuff as well, right?
Yeah. The strikeout model is Alex. And then the stacking model, the home run model, the optimizer, all the projections and stuff. I've been updating all that. So yesterday went pretty well. Shout out to David for the call on the Baltimore Orioles stack. I was really high in the Red Sox. So when he mentioned the Orioles, I just kind of stacked it up and actually had a pretty solid takedown in the $65 three max on FanDuel by like 20 points. So it's always good to like have just no sweat. And like, especially because the slate started at 1 and went until 1 in the morning because of that Padres game getting pushed back. So it was a good start to the year for sure. Absolutely. And we have tons of content, tons of tools. We'll have, you know, several articles every day. Obviously, the daily live stream, which it's David and I again on it today, 4:30 Eastern time. So feel free to check that out. And like you mentioned, 25% off opening day is that code over there.
Yeah, and ftndaily.com/free. So hang out for 3 days for free and see exactly what we have to offer. The optimizer, of course, PGA and NBA is winding down as well, but we'll be with you guys throughout the entire playoffs. So yeah, as I told George before we got on, he was a little bit bummed too. His Red Sox gave up all those runs. Kluber didn't look all that good, but I just told him, man, the O's are here. Like they're going to be exciting and an exciting team this season. They got a lot of decent players and they got some kids who we will see at some point this season that are exciting players as well. So I think Baltimore is going to be one of those surprise teams this season for sure. Okay. Before we get into tonight, I wanted to get your thoughts on some of your predictions. Quan, it's never too late. You know, I know where day one is in the books, but you can still bet on these things, you know, Cy Young winners, MVP, World Series stuff. You can all do that. So, Quan, why don't you surprise us? I know you got like a ton of boards there. So he brings up NL MVP. You're looking at this. What do you see? What stands out? What do you like?
Yeah, so a lot of elite names up top, right? So it is tough. But the two that I like the most are the two Padres guys, Soto and Machado. I know they didn't get off to a good start last year, so I probably could take this time to pivot off that pick. But it's been my pick for the past month or so. I've been doing the kind of the thoughts on the awards. So I think the Padres have a really good shot at, you know, being one of the best teams in baseball here, even though they got, you know, whooped around last night and failed to score any runs against Marquez, who got beat up all year last year. But Soto and Machado, like, you could have made a case that Machado should have won this award last year. And so at 15-1, I don't mind the value there. And I know Tatis is also in the mix there, but, you know, also I don't feel great about betting him or picking him just because of not only history with obviously him being out to start the year, but injury history as well. So
yeah,
Machado and Soto, obviously Soto's the favorite. And then you can always make a case for Ronald Acuna. So those would be my first kind of three options there: Soto, Machado, and then Acuna.
Yeah, Acuna's a stud. Absolutely love him. Two hits yesterday, stole a bag. You know, I don't know how voters would, if they'd hold a grudge or not. They're just weird. Like, some of them are a lot older.
Yeah. And
Tatis, you know, with the suspension, it may rub voters the wrong way. I'm sure if he has like a fantastic season,
yeah,
they'll vote for him, but if it's close, they may not. I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking nonsense here, but I think it's possible.
That's true.
As Xander had a really good day yesterday for the Padres, but yeah, nobody else was good. Hermel Marquez, I mean, sometimes he just impresses you, surprises you. I think most of those surprising starts are away from Coors Field, not so much Colorado, but he was decent yesterday. Let's go over to the AL. Of course, we got the two Angels up at the top, and Otani at plus 190 and Trout at plus 450. Judge picked up where he left off yesterday with a home run in the first inning. Julio Rodriguez at 7-1. Yordan Alvarez had a bomb yesterday in the bottom of the ninth at 11-1. I went with Vlad Guerrero Jr. just to kind of be different a little bit. You think the Padres are going to have a good season? I'm with you. I think that they are going to have a good season. I think they're going to win that division. I think the Jays are going to have a really good season as well. I think my one issue with them is the bullpen, but man, they can score. What a game that was yesterday between the Bluebirds and the Cardinals, is going back and forth. Nobody really wanted to win that game. The bullpens were not so great, but Vlad and company, George Springer, we talked about him off the top, had a really good opening day, and Varsha was good as well. Daily Handle says, Bregman, long shot, pizza money. Who do you like on this board?
I mean, real quick, Adley's up to 14-1 now after his monster opening day. Hey, wow. Yeah. So, in terms of like pizza money, like for kind of a super long shot to throw some money on, the guy for me would be Byron Buxton. I firmly believe that if this guy stays healthy for the entire course of the year, that he could be a top five baseball player. I just think he's amazing. Whenever he's on the field, he's extremely productive. He's productive everywhere defensively, with power on the bases. I genuinely think that he is one of the best players in baseball when healthy. He's just never been able to put together a full season. And obviously, to win the MVP, you need to do that. So for a pizza money type bet, it would be Buxton for me at 30-1. But it's always tough to go against Shohei Ohtani. Obviously, you called it a couple of years ago when I think you got him at 40-1. I think for his, what was that, 2 years ago or so? And he just has this built-in advantage in this award because he pitches and hits. And he does both extremely well. Like, he's a elite player at both facets. So it is tough at, you know, plus 190. Like, you don't really feel like you're getting a whole lot of value there if he, you know, knock on wood, if he ends up on the IL for, you know, 15 days or whatever with a blister or something like that, that is going to hurt his chances. And that's always difficult with these season long bets. But if he has a full season, he's going to win it just because he does everything for the team. And you don't really need to play on a good team in MLB to win the MVP award. In the NBA, you almost need to. But for MLB, it's not quite the same sort of deal. So Ohtani doesn't really matter how the Angels perform. If he is the elite player that we expect him to be on both sides of the ball, pitching and hitting, he's just going to win the award because he has this inherent advantage at the award.
So that's what I was thinking a couple of years ago. And I mean, you don't have to tell me that you don't need to make the playoffs to get that award. Between Trout and Ohtani, they have four of them. And they've made the playoffs once since 2014. But you're spot on. We've also seen Stanton win it and not make the playoffs. Bryce Harper, like, it's more common in baseball than other sports, especially the NBA. By the way, is the NBA race, is a lot of people are talking Embiid. And you know, I think he certainly got a case if you're backing Embiid to win the award. I think last time we chatted, it would be Joker, but maybe he doesn't get it again and they go another way. Yeah. But the thing with that I thought with Ohtani was, yeah, when he won it, that was my thinking a couple of years ago. Like, how can this guy not be the MVP if he's going to pitch and he's going to hit and he's going to do both things well? And he did both things a lot better than I thought and a lot of other people thought. And then last year, I was like, well, how is this just a precedent? Like, is he always going to get it? Because he is the most valuable player in baseball, whether his team makes it or not. His WAR is higher than Trout's, you know, as a hitter. His WAR is higher than Gerrit Cole as a pitcher. Like, it's unbelievable on both sides of it. Then they gave it to Judge. So, I mean, Judge had that historic season. I wonder if they just make an Ohtani award. Is he going to win it year after year after year? And he just has an award. Like, maybe Connor McDavid on the ice should have an award too. And then everybody else will battle for like the next best player in that particular sport. But if he gets traded, Kyle, like, he's not going to win it. If he gets traded, if the Angels are out of it come the deadline and he gets traded to another team, whether it's in the NL, I mean, he won't win it, and then Trout won't win it. So then there's some value there. I do like the Buxton call. I'm not really sure on Bregman, Daily Handle. You know, I think his good MVP season, I believe that was like that's an outlier year. He's still a really good player, but I don't know if he can get back to there. And there's just so many really good players on the Houston Astros. Can we bring that board up one more time, Quan? I want to maybe. And by the way, you're right. Rutschman's 14-1 on DraftKings.
Yeah.
But our prop shop is still showing 30-1 at BetRivers. 25 at PointsBet and 24 at FanDuel. Quan, can we bring that MVP board up one more time? The American League one. Yeah. What about Luis Robert? Are we just, I don't know, we're all hanging on the upside. We haven't seen it quite yet, but at 40-1, it's a guy I can get behind.
Yeah, I mean, when we think about Luis Robert's ceiling and his upside, it's obviously difficult to say it's Mike Trout, but like that's the sort of deal that you want from Luis Robert. So he's, yeah, 40-1, definitely in contention there. I wouldn't mind that. I would like him, you know, more than some other guys down here in this range. Again, it's about staying healthy for him and performing well. He's gone through some skids where he just can't really get anything going at the plate, and then obviously dealt with some injuries in his short career so far. But I mean, when he's on and when he's healthy, he can definitely be in the mix for sure.
I think Pena may be more worth your time, Daily Handle. I know you're not a big Pena guy. He didn't want to keep him in one of my dynasty leagues or keeper leagues, but he's won ALCS MVP, World Series MVP. And as we transition here to the AL Cy Young, Pena is a really good player. I think he was very undervalued in fantasy draft. So here's the NL Cy Young. Actually, this is the AL. Sorry, yeah, DeGrom. DeGrom did not have a good outing yesterday. Not great for his first start in Texas. Gerrit Cole did. Manoa did not. Cease did. Bieber was okay. Carlos Rodon's dealing with an injury. How about Ohtani 12-1 to win Cy Young? Like, why not? Like, I think that's more worth your buck than the MVP.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that 100%. My pick here is Christian Javier. Obviously, you and I have talked about him in DMs quite a bit here. I just think, you know, he's been progressing every single year. All of his rates are consistently improving. And last year, he had a 33% strikeout rate. And I know strikeout rate isn't necessarily the end-all be-all when it comes to this award. But, I mean, Christian Javier is going to have a chance to slide in and be the number one pitcher for the Astros now with Verlander gone. I know Valdez got the bump on day one, but I think Javier's the better pitcher. I think he's more explosive. Mm-hmm. And he has arguably the best fastball in baseball. People just can't seem to hit it. It has a different sort of spin and a different sort of movement on it than any other fastball in baseball, where it kind of doesn't necessarily rise because that's not necessarily possible, but it stays up in the zone at times that, and people just can't catch up to it. And it's been a great pitch for him. He's adding some other off-speed stuff as well. So Javier is definitely my pick here. Just missed out on Cease last year. I really thought that he had a better chance than what the voters made it seem like, with kind of Verlander running away with the award. But man, Cease was amazing last year as well, and he could easily repeat that sort of success. So my pick here would be Javier, but I probably stay away from DeGrom and Cole just because of, you know, DeGrom's injury history. I know Cole looked great, but I just like some of the value down here at the lower parts of the board. I just don't think that Javier should be in the same sort of tier as Luis Castillo and Logan Gilbert. No kind of disrespect to those guys. Good pitchers in their own right. I think Logan Gilbert's been a little bit better performance-wise than some of his underlying numbers, but I think Javier should be more like 9-1, 10-1 in this sort of range. I think that he really takes a massive step forward this season.
I like the call. I do have a little sprinkle on Javier, McClanahan, and Ohtani. Those are my three guys. And just some like long shot stuff on like Springs and Detmers, which just won't happen. But at 200-1, if those guys do have really hot starts, I mean, there could be some value there. Maybe a cash out option for the people that have those kind of books. Let's switch over to the NL, and then we'll get you out of here. So Sandy up at the top at +450. Burns did not look great yesterday at +550. Verlander, I mean, that's, you're obviously not doing that, guys. The odds have changed. He's on the IL. Max Scherzer at 8-1. Strider, I went with at +950 because I just don't understand. Like, guy has 130 innings and over 200 strikeouts with basically just two pitches. It's crazy. If he can get to 160 innings, how many strikeouts does he get? 225, 230? I think it's certainly possible. Max Fried, I don't know if he's placed in the IL yet, but I think I heard last night that the Braves organization manager said most likely an IL stint, a hamstring injury. He suffered covering first base yesterday against the Nats. Zach Gallen at 11-1. Wheeler and Nola at 12-1. Woodruff at 19-1. Hunter Green, a lot of people are talking about Hunter Green. I just don't think he's there yet, dude. Like, he's going to strike out a bunch of guys. I think he had 105 on the gun yesterday. But he's also going to walk a lot of guys, and he's going to give up a lot of bombs in that small park. Who stands out to you here?
Yeah, I agree with you on Green. Like, the strikeout numbers look pretty amazing, but the power prevention has been pretty bad for him, and obviously O'Neill Cruz took advantage of that, hit an absolute missile to right field. That thing was just a no doubter. So yeah. Hunter Green, like when he's on, he can really, you know, strike out a ton of hitters and make it look good. But the power prevention numbers do look pretty dangerous. So he's going to need to really overcome some of that stuff. And that maybe that's something that he works on in the future, but I don't know if this year is the season. I agree on the Strider call. He's probably the guy that I like the most in the, you know, top four or five in this range. You know, Scherzer, I think is always fine. And Verlander probably stay away from now with the injury. I don't think that really, you know, deters him from winning this award, but you know, if I'm betting now, unless he dropped a ton, which he did drop down to 13-1, it does give me some sort of pause because that can always be a lingering injury there. But Corbin Burns, he would be the guy that I'd be looking to sort of kind of come back to if his odds dropped down more after the bad start. But he's still 6-1, so it's not like he fell a whole lot. And then Alcantara, obviously great pitcher, won the award last year. I hit this 22-1 last year, so obviously massive difference in the numbers here. The guy for me, it's a real long shot, obviously longest on the board here, and he obviously has to stay healthy. But Dustin May, I think if he's able to stay healthy and they get to a point where they're no longer limiting him, which is always a problem in LA as well, this guy has elite stuff. Like arguably the best sinker in baseball. It's really elite stuff that Dustin May has. So if he's able to stay healthy and able to kind of round out some regular numbers in terms of innings pitched, he has a legit shot at winning this award. Maybe it's not this year, but maybe it's next when he can kind of get a more regular kind of volume of innings pitched. But I love Dustin May.
Yeah, I like May too. Of course, we didn't get to see him much last year, and just he's got nasty stuff. He really does. 7-1 for Corbin Burns at FanDuel. So with each bad start, another one, you know, it's going to happen. If you really like Corbin Burns, you know, if he gets roughed up again, that may drop to like 9-1 or something like that. So there's your long shot daily handle, May. And guys, I'm telling you, I like Hunter Green. He's going to be a stud. I like RotoWare coming out with the shirt yesterday with the hundreds. Did you see it? The hundreds everywhere. Like he's on the mound. I love it. Like he's going to be a great pitcher, but Nick Lodolo is the guy. Don't sleep on him. I can't wait till he hits the mound. We can talk some strikeout props with him as well. Speaking of strikeout props, we got a couple. I got at least one for you. We're going to break and we're going to take a look at tonight's slate here with Kyle. So stick around a little bit more MLB talk here on Mean Streets. Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network, presented by So Rare with Kyle Murray, Chris Meany here with UK Murr DFS, the head of the FTN Daily crew here. All right, so five games on the diamond. Five games around the diamond here. You want to talk about it from a DFS standpoint first? You want to you know, highlight a pitcher to help us build our lineups here? We got Robbie Ray, Lance Lynn, we got May, we got Javier. We may have to go that way. Two guys that we kind of talked up in the other block. We got Kelly Lizardo, who I am a sucker for when he's healthy. He's got some nice stuff. Martinez, Freeland, Peterson's in the lineup, you know, and then McGill is going to actually replace Verlander in the Mets lineup. He's obviously not going to pitch here today, but what stands out to you? A little bit of a preview of what you and Jones are going to talk about a little bit later on today.
Obviously Javier is going to be the top arm on the slate for me. I think he's the most talented guy on the slate. And he's super cheap on DraftKings too, only 8,200. We talked about the price on Shane McClanahan yesterday kind of being a mistake from DraftKings. He was 7,700 in a matchup against the Tigers. I'm not sure what happened there. Not sure what happened with the Javier price. I think he should probably be the most expensive as he is on FanDuel. So on DraftKings, Javier is definitely the top guy for me. Also like Peterson as well here against Miami, 6,600 on DraftKings, 8,300 on FanDuel, pretty solid strikeout matchup for him. Peterson actually, you know, took a pretty big step forward in his strikeout rates last season, 28% strikeout rate, not really something that you would expect from him, but he was really good against righties as well, which typically against for a lefty, you can really struggle against right-handed power, which in this matchup with guys like Jorge Soler in this lineup for Miami, that'd be something I'm worried about, but he really did a good job at preventing power. So Peterson's a guy that I like quite a bit today. So I would say Javier and Peterson, probably my top two guys. A little bit concerned about Dustin May being limited here. Obviously he's been dealing with. Yeah. So, I mean, if he was going to be full go, he'd probably be my top guy, but I tend to believe that we're going to see him be fairly limited. But if you wanted to take a stab at it, he would probably be a guy that I would definitely have interest in, just because I don't love a lot of the other top guys. Not super high on Lance Lynn today, not super high on Robbie Ray, although I think Robbie Ray's fine. But in the top range, it's pretty much just Javier for me. So if you wanted to take a stab with May and maybe hope that he's really efficient in the limited innings, I think you could do that. But for the most part, it's mainly Javier and Peterson that I have interest in. Also have some interest in Nick Martinez. I know the Rockies had a pretty good game last night, but they also struck out a lot. And Nick Martinez doesn't necessarily strike out a ton of guys, 22% strikeout rate, but he did a good job at limiting power to righties last season. So guys like CJ Cron, who had two homers last night, Chris Bryant, might have difficulty having a ton of power success against Martinez, because he was really good at limiting power there. So Martinez, nothing that I'm crazy about, but I really don't think this Rockies team is as good as they kind of looked last night. So I wouldn't mind taking a few stabs with Nick Martinez as well.
Yeah, and the Rockies, as you mentioned, there a lot of swing and miss in their lineup last year and this year too. It's going to carry over. I'm with you on the top of the board. Like, I don't want to I'm sure there's, you could always make a case for a contrarian, arm or two at the top of the board in tougher matchups, especially even on a five-game slate. But Robbie Ray at 9-2 against the Cleveland team is one of the lowest strikeout rates in baseball over the past couple of seasons. They make a lot of contact, and same thing with the Astros, right? They make a lot of contact as well. So I think Lance Lynn's in a tough spot. What do you think, Javier will be one of the highest owned pitchers here on this slate?
Yeah, I have him at like 45-50% projected ownership on DraftKings right now. I do have Robbie Ray still as the second highest, and then Lizardo at third, which he's cheap on DraftKings, Lizardo that is, but tough matchup there against the Mets. Doesn't project well for me, so that's probably a spot that I fade. But yeah, Javier should be popular, but again, I think it's warranted at this point. And the Robbie Ray matchup against the Indians here, you mentioned, they didn't have a lot of power last year and they didn't strike out at all. They were a really pesky team, but they added Josh Bell, they added Mike Zunino, so they might actually have some pop in their lineup against lefties this year. Obviously they have Ahmed Rosario, who has much more power against lefties. They have Jose Ramirez, and then Oscar Gonzalez as well, who showed some promise last season. So if you're looking to build a contrarian stack against the chalky pitcher, I wouldn't mind the Indians here.
Yeah. Stephen Kwan doesn't have a lot of power, but he's got a lot of contact. I mean, the guy gets on base. Javier, we have this strikeout prop. I don't know if you're with me on this one, but 6.5, the over DraftKings. Actually, it's changed a little bit. So this is Caesars +111. I think we had it last night over at DraftKings at +120 or +115, roughly in there. I know some books have it at 5.5 juiced. I think FanDuel's at -144 juice, but 194 strikeouts for him last year in 142 innings, 33% strikeout rate, 11.74 K per nine. Really good away from Houston. And at home, on the road, he had a 2.84 ERA, 1.86 opponent batting average, but at home, even better. 1.54 or 0.154 opponent batting average and 2.26 ERA. So this is a guy like down the stretch who was consistently hitting the over 6.5, like 7, 8, 6, 8, 8, 7. Had an outing against the Braves where he had 8 there. I know the White Sox don't, even you're looking at their numbers last year, Kyle, not a ton of strikeouts in their lineup. They were, I think, in the bottom 7 or 8 in terms of strikeout percentage, but I got to go with Javier, and he's your guy here too. So what do you project him for? Can he get to 7?
So I have him at 6.5 on the dot right now. But again, like, my model really constricts guys in early season for pitchers. Like, it's just very hesitant to allow guys to go out there, and it just limits pitches pretty much. So I would lean this bet, especially with it being plus money. Typically when I project the guy at the line and it's plus money, that's typically a plus EV bet for me. So +111, I like that quite a bit. I'll have it in the bet tracker as well.
And he did get some innings. It's not like this is just his first start. He did get a couple showings of World Baseball Classic. Any other final words? Anything else that you wanted to talk about here before we get you out of here?
There's two more props that I have some interest in. I do like the Lance Lynn under on strikeouts, 5.5. I know he's a guy that they'll trot out there and allow him to throw his arm off and throw a million pitches, but difficult matchup here against Houston. Only a 24% strikeout rate last year, and only 4 guys in the lineup striking out over 20% of the time or more for this Houston team. I think he actually deals with some trouble in this spot for some of these big lefties. So I like the under 5.5 strikeouts for Lance Lynn, and I like the over on 5.5 strikeouts for David Peterson at plus money as well.
Love it. Yeah. Peterson, guys, he's somebody we're actually going to talk about in the next block a little bit more. But I mean, we already really did. But I'm going to just scan the waiver wire and take a look at some pitchers that are available in certain leagues. And he's one. And we talked about him on this show a couple weeks ago. We had Matt Modica come on when we previewed the Mets. He mentioned him as a potential sleeper. Love that call. Plus money as well. Giddy up. Kyle, you're fantastic. Good luck today. Check out Kyle and Jones, ftndaily.com/free. Sign up, guys. Use promo code opening day. Just use the free trial and see what we're all about. And got a feeling you'll stick around, hopefully. All right, Kyle. Good luck, man. We'll talk to you soon. A lot more here to get to on Mean Streets. Back in a couple. What's going on, everybody? Let's talk a little fantasy baseball season long. We got you carried. We got you taken care of, hopefully, in the DFS world and some betting stuff. I got some NHL stuff a little bit later on, but I just wanted to scan the waiver wire. This is a little bit of a different week for those that do play in Yahoo, ESPN. It's like a 2-week thing. It's like a week and a half. Basically, everybody, you know, are two start pitchers for the week. I know high stakes is a little bit different, of course. It'll be a fresh week for you next week, but we will on Fridays scan the waiver wire. We're going to hit two star pitchers, and on Monday we'll go over, you know, some of the top ads, maybe players that were dropped that you could, you know, people panic, right? They overrate people on opening day, and they also panic. And you guys may be thinking that I'm overrating Adley Rutschman, but I'm not. Guy's gonna be a stud. Okay, Quan, pitchers. If you got pitchers, you can chuck whatever you want. Here you go. Lisenski is up at the top. He's a guy that was on our sleeper board last week, or I think it was, yeah, last Thursday, last Friday. We talked about some undervalued pitchers or some late round targets. So we did make the rotation for the Cubbies as the fifth starter here. We haven't seen a whole lot from him in the bigs. He just has 33 innings, 4 starts, but those starts were pretty good. He had 33 strikeouts in 33 innings. Yeah, he only allowed 7 walks. So he had a sub 2 walks per 9. Had some decent command in throughout the minors as well. In 2022, he had a couple different stops. I mean, he was traded from the Yankees to the Cubbies, you know, part of a deal there. I think it was Anthony Rizzo package, but 89 innings in AAA. Caper 9 was only at 8.3, but the walks were decent. And then in AAA, again, when he moved to the Chicago organization, he had just 20 innings, but a double-digit Caper 9. You know, he's got some stuff. Keep the ball on the ground relatively, for the most part, flirting around a 50% ground ball rate. Swinging strike percentage is double digit, right? Again, a very, very small sample size. But don't be shocked if this is a guy that we're talking about in the strikeout prop market or as like a two-star in deeper formats as well. Clark Schmidt, Young Buck, this guy should be owned. Ashcroft, these guys should be owned, especially in deeper formats. Just talk about Peterson as well, you know, making the start today. He's one that I would definitely roster. The other guys are kind of like some flyers, some upside guys, but I wouldn't be shocked if Schmidt and Wasinski are guys that are staples in your fantasy baseball format, maybe as your 8th pitcher or your 9th pitcher. Tyler Molly, I'm a bit of a sucker for him. You know, last year was some injury issues. Getting away from Cincinnati, I think, is good for his game. I think he can get up to like a 9K per 9. Trevor Rogers, last year was a disaster. You know, 2021 was really good for him. I think he could get close to that mark. We'll see, right? He's a guy that you should have like watch. Same with McGill, like have him like a little star. Watch these guys. Schuster's a guy that I think, you know, with the injury to Fried, I would love to see our Canadian boy Sirocco, who's really dealt with some injuries over the past couple of seasons. You know, as he gets stretched out in the minors, I think we'll see him come up. I think he's a better real life pitcher than a fantasy guy, but don't be surprised here if Schuster kind of pops off here over the next little bit inside the rotation. And then some closers towards the end, like Fulmer, McGow, I do believe will be the closer for the Diamondbacks. Estevez, you know, again, the Halos bullpen is atrocious, but everything they showed me yesterday, they had him lined up to get in the 9th inning, and we just didn't see it because they had already blown the game. Let's switch over to some hitters here. Again, under 60% owned in Yahoo and Fantrax and ESPN. So you got some kids up at the top, some prospects like Josh Jung should be owned. You know, James Outman had a really good day, started at center for the Dodgers. He's got some pop. You know, Miguel Vargas is a prospect that's got a little bit of pop as well. Most projections have Outman for like 300, 400 plate appearances. Man, if he gets to 500, this is a guy that's certainly going to return value. And he's available on most waiver wires, even though he's one of the most added players here this morning in fantasy baseball drafts because of his performance yesterday. Lourdes Gurriel hit in the 3 spot. There's a lot going on there in the Diamondbacks. You know, he could play first base for them at times as well. this season so he could get some first base eligibility. Those north of the border Toronto fans know all about Gurriel. You know, not a great season from him last year, but he does have some pop, and I think that Diamondbacks lineup is pretty sneaky. Marcell Ozuna is going to get an opportunity here to play. If he does have a bad season, you know, he will find himself platooning a little bit, I do believe, but he did start yesterday. Derek Hall, somebody we talked about, kind of filling in for Rhys Hoskins, hitting the cleanup spot. I don't know. He'll probably be a platoon guy as well moving forward, but he's in a really good situation to drive in some runs. Yasmani Grandal is just a catcher, you know, in case you need one. He had a good day yesterday. It's a good lineup, and I think he can get back to like maybe a couple years ago Grandal, not like 5 or 6 years ago Grandal, but a guy that could be decent for you at the catcher position, especially in a two catcher league. I'm sure he's owned in those formats. Gene Segura is a little bit underrated. He's nowhere near the same type of guy. He's not going to have a 300 average and steal 30 bags, but maybe he could get you 15 to 20. Stolen bases are certainly up. And then the guy that I really wanted to touch on that I just kind of skipped over is Jake Fraley. I'm a fan. Like, he's got some power. He's got some speed. With the Reds last year, only 247 plate appearances, 12 homers. He had 259. I think he can get back up to like a 259, 260 average, but I think he's going to flirt with 20 bombs. I think he's going to get double-digit stolen bases. I like the lineup that he plays, and the Reds got some kids, too, that we can see come up. So I think Fraley is a guy that's super, super interesting, and I got him on a lot of places, a lot of shares. I got some NHL picks here next. Actually, I have one MLB prop that I wanted to share with you in the next block as well. So a couple picks and props for tonight's slate on the ice and around the diamond here next on Mean Streets. Only a couple games on the ice tonight in the NHL, but you guys know I got some props that I like. And let's start here with Alex Tuch. I don't know about Tage Thompson, if he's going to play or not. I know he's battling. I think he's battling with a rib injury. He must have like bruised ribs or something. It's kind of been hush-hush. He didn't play in the last game, and he was a game-time decision against the Islanders. He took warm-up, and then he left, and then he was kind of a surprise start. But yeah, I don't think it really matters if he plays or if he doesn't play. At minus 130, I think that's at Bet Rivers. But if he doesn't play, you know, I will like Tuck a little bit more. But again, I like him regardless. Just the last game, he had 6 shots and he played 21-43, which was the most he had played in the last 6 or 7 games without Tuck in, or without Tage Thompson in the lineup. I really love the skits, by the way, on the Sabres Instagram account done by Jeff Skinner. So that's actually really comical. You got to go check those ones out. But 9 shots in his last 2 games for Tuck. He's having a career season up to 32 goals and 186 shots. And the Rangers did play last night against New Jersey, so maybe some fatigue in their lineup in the second half of a back-to-back on the road. Tyler Toffoli has a history of lighting up his former squads. He was with Vancouver for a minute, you know, in 2020 in the bubble, that bubble season, that weird season in the NHL with the all-Canadian division. Tyler Toffoli absolutely torched his former team, the Canucks. He's at a decent 136 here. I think DraftKings is a little bit juice. You may have to put him into a parlay. I got Mikhail Backlund in a parlay with Kyle Connor. Connor's usually at 3.5. Backlund's usually at 3.5. So I'm going to take the 2.5s here. Winnipeg, you got to show me something here today. Like, you got to get a W against Detroit. Are you kidding me? You guys have been awful here over the past little bit. They're loading up their top line. They got Connor with Pierre-Luc Dubois, who is George's boy. And then we have Mark Scheifele on that line as well. I'm going to do a same game parlay with those 3 guys to hit the score sheet. But Kyle Connor does have 4 shots in 2 of his last 3 games. So I got him with Mikhail Backlund. And they got Rupe Hintz against the, that should be minus 118. I don't think we'll get plus 118 there. I also think Jason Robertson is in play, but he's 3.5. I think both of those guys are in play against the Arizona Coyotes, but I'm going to go with Rupe Hintz. 5 shots in his last game in a soft matchup and another soft one here tonight. And then Tarasenko, the Rangers are doing all kinds of different things with their lineups. They're trying to get everybody, you know, set, bringing in Tarasenko, bringing in Patrick Kane. I noticed last night they made some switches. They went Panarin with Tarasenko and Mika Zibanejad, and I think that's a line. Even if it's not, Tarasenko should be in the top 6. Panarin's the bread maker. He's the guy that dishes all the assists and the apples. So I got Tarasenko for just a point here at minus 112. It is a must-win game for the Sabres, but they're atrocious defensively, and their goaltending is just absolutely brutal. And Tarasenko's got 6 points in his last 9 games. I think he's going to hit the score sheet for us tonight. I think the Jets win in 60. I think the Stars win in 60 as well. And I'm willing to take them on the puck line if it is Jake Oettinger in net. I know this is the first half of a back-to-back, so we may not see Oettinger. But if he does get the start, I will be taking Dallas on the puck line. NFL Mock Draft 2.0 next here on Mean Streets. I got an MLB prop for you quickly. I did the Javier one. This one, Corbin Carroll for a stolen base at plus 400 at DraftKings. It may have moved. We hit Anthony Volpe yesterday at plus 375 for a stolen base. This is a statistic from my guy, Alex Fast from Pitcherless. Stolen base opening day comparison, 2022, five stolen bases, four caught stealing, 56% success rate. Yesterday, 21 stolen bases, only two players caught stealing, and 91% success rate. Books are going to adjust eventually, but man, you only get to toss twice over to first base. And after you toss twice, the leads are huge without a balk and letting them go to second. So we are going to see some stolen bases this year. Corbin Carroll, speed for days, this guy, 33 stolen bases across AA, AAA, and MLB last year as well. Very small sample size. I know people are here to see the mock draft. I'm going to have to go deeper into this on Monday, but here it is. This is what I got. I got CJ Stroud going number one to Carolina. I got Bryce Young at two. I got Anthony Richardson at four here, whether it's to the Colts at four or to the Baltimore Ravens at four, whether they trade for Lamar Jackson or not. I think he is going to be the third quarterback off the board at pick four. I got Jalen Carter falling to Seattle here. You know, it's really didn't know what to do with Detroit, to be honest with you. There's a couple different ways they can go. I had them taking a corner at first, and I think just with Wilson falling, getting an edge player, I think that's the way that they go. I got the Raiders. I don't think the Raiders are going to take a quarterback, man. I think that Josh McDaniels got his guy, Jimmy G. There's so many holes in that squad. I think that they want to win now with Jimmy G. He knows the system. I think that they go and get themselves a defensive player, either an offensive lineman or a cornerback there. I know a lot of people have the Eagles getting Van Ness here. Excuse me. I went with Bijan Robinson. Now, this is not the history of Philadelphia or Howie Roseman. If you've been paying attention to Howie Roseman, they build through the trenches, right? They've had one of the better offensive lines in football over the past couple of years, 2017 Super Bowl. Last year went to the Super Bowl thanks to the offensive line. And, you know, the D-line, they brought back Graham. They brought back Fletcher Cox. This is just a luxury pick here. They have two picks in the first. One of the best offensive lines, as I mentioned, best rushing team in football over the last few years. Imagine Bijan Robinson behind that line. I don't know if it happens. I'd say probably not, but I'm having some fun here. I got the Titans taking Will Levis. They need a quarterback. They need a lot of things. They could take a wide receiver at this spot. I had them penciled in with Jackson Smith and Jigba at first. Then I had him an offensive lineman. I went with Levis here at the quarterback position. I got JSN to Houston as the first wide receiver off the board. And then a little bit later on, you will see I got Seattle taking a wide receiver in Jordan Addison. I got the Chargers taking a wide receiver in Quentin Johnson. And I got Baltimore taking a wide receiver, which would be off-brand for the Ravens. There's no question. But I got them taking Zay Flowers. I originally in the first mock had them taking Brian Branch, who I have going to Buffalo there. A couple tight ends. The Cowboys need one. Kincaid, I'd say the Saints and the Bengals need one, but the Bengals probably need more offensive line help before taking a tight end. I got Mayer there to the Saints. So that's my version 2.0. Can dive into it a little bit deeper. I got the Giants taking a wide receiver. I got Minnesota taking a cornerback there at pick 24. They also need, I think, wide receiver help letting go Adam Thielen. Wouldn't be shocked if they took a wide receiver, but I think they'll do it in the second round. A lot there. Miami, thanks for coming out. You don't get a pick in the first round. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Cheers.